Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. Occasionally on American Variety, we have guests who have a big dream that everyone thinks is crazy or impossible, but they pursue it anyway, against all odds, and succeed. My guest this week is such a person. He is Patrick Gotch, who's the founder of RFD-TV, the cable TV network aimed at rural America, and its parent company, Rural Media Group. Welcome, Patrick.
Howdy.
Back in the 1980s, I gather from reading a little about you, you were selling satellite dishes door-to-door. And at the time, I know cable TV was a new phenomenon in media. What possessed you to think you could become kind of the Ted Turner of flyover country?
Well, even before that, I grew up on a small farm in Nebraska, and so I had a background in agriculture. And you're right, was selling and installing satellite dishes in the 80s, and a lot of those systems were in rural homes, and I'd always follow up a couple weeks later and, you know, see how they were doing and try to get another lead. And there was a consistent theme. Folks said they loved having, and this was back when dishes were ugly and 10 feet wide and cost $3,000 or $4,000. But everybody was saying the same thing. They loved having Disney for the kids and ESPN and CNN and the Weather Channel. But there was always a but. Why isn't there more ag programming on? What channel carries rodeo? How about more shows on horses? And not knowing any better, hearing it over and over again, it just hit me one night to write down on the back of an envelope a network for rural America called RFD-TV, just like the old postal acronym for when mail was first delivered to rural America.
I wonder how many great innovations start out on the back of an envelope like yours did. So, you know, so it's a big country, and I use the term kind of semi-laughingly flyover country, which is what the elite people on the coast think of as the whole vast middle of the country that they fly over in flying from New York or Philadelphia or Washington out to L.A. or whatever. But it's the bulk of the country, really, right? And so how many people roughly are there in rural and middle America in that vast rural area, let's call it, even leaving aside the cities that are in it?
Well, outside of the urban areas, there's 27 million homes that are in what's called C&D County homes. Counties with less than 5,000 population. So again, our network's targeted rural America, but we play just as well in the city too. We had two goals when we first launched. One, of course, was to, we called ourselves to serve the needs and interests of rural America, rural America's most important network. But a second goal was also to reconnect city with country again. It just seemed like another theme was that, you know, people in the urban areas were really getting away from understanding where their food and fiber comes from and having a real attachment to farms and ranches out there. So we really had two goals to start with.
You know, I see that all the time, you know, and I'm old enough to have seen an evolution in that too, that more and more, you know, college graduates, people who grow up in the cities or live in cities from an early age, don't really know how to do anything. You know, they know how to work in an office, but they don't know how to do things with their hands, and they're not that in touch with where things come from. You know, I think that a lot of people think that chicken breasts come skinless and boneless in a yellow styrofoam container, and they don't realize, you know, they're grown somewhere, and there's a lot of processing goes into that. And so, as you say, there's like a disconnect that really is growing over time between urban people and the country that produces much of the resources that keep the cities alive, right? So,
yeah, and I think that's unfortunate. I think a big blame for that is the media. Where I grew up in Omaha, the local stations there used to have give farm markets in the morning and had a noon market report, and on Friday honored a farm family of the day. And it just seemed like if it wasn't a drought or disaster or something bad going on, that there's really no coverage of things that are important to rural America by the urban-based media anymore. So we're trying to fill that void, too. A large percentage of our programming now is news. We're producing about 6.5 hours a day of news. When I first wanted to launch this, I just wanted to start a farm network. And then I met somebody else that wanted had an idea for a horse network, a network devoted to horsemanship. Somebody else wanted a rural lifestyle network. And then I met up with William Nelson in 1993, who had this library of traditional country music that he wanted to get on the air. So our program schedule now is really 1/4 ag, 1/4 equine, 1/4 rural lifestyle, 1/4 music and entertainment. And that seems to have been a nice mix. That's what's allowed us to grow to almost 50 million homes now. We launched in December of 2000 on Dish Network. But I think just an ag channel would have failed. I think just a horse channel would have failed. But a network that encompasses all of rural America and all the different things that make up rural America and rural interests has proven to be the right formula.
Yeah, I think that program lineup that you described is probably a great way. I mean, the whole idea of trying to connect urban people to more rural people and to connect their interests, which would seem in a way to have very little overlap, but to try to increase the overlap between them or to focus on that overlap is really a great thing, not just as a business idea, but for the country. But I guess the problem is that the major networks and media investors are located mainly on the coast and in big cities, and they're very elitist and probably only think in terms of urban and suburban audiences. So I could tell, even from reading some of your background, that you were seriously swimming upstream from the start and trying to persuade those people that your vision was viable as a business and as a TV channel. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your...
We're still swimming upstream, yeah. Really. I mean, even this past year with the merger of Comcast and Time Warner, it really came to a head in May when I appeared before the House Judiciary Subcommittee, and Comcast was on that panel, and the committee members were asking, what's your commitment to carrying independent rural programming? And Mr. David Cohen, the representative for Comcast, his answer was, we are primarily an urban clustered cable company, which really caught a lot of congressmen and senators by surprise, that kind of an attitude. You know, I have nothing personal against Comcast, but that's the kind of attitude that we've been fighting for 15 years. It's a wall's been almost erected between urban and rural America. And, you know, one of our goals is to try to chip away and break that wall down.
Yeah, so there really is a disconnect there. And so,
yeah,
you know, I want to get into more of that kind of merger situation later on. But for now, let's, as kind of the background of leading into the show for people who may or may not know much about RFD-TV, tell us a little bit about your early history in trying to get the TV network going right from the start before anybody knew what it was, and you were trying to get investors and so on. What were some of the kind of highlights and lowlights of the early years?
Like a typical project like this, you know, we got 100 no's to start with. It really did take about 8 years to, taking a business plan into potential investors and to investment bankers and being told no, and they all had legitimate objections that farmers don't watch TV, you'll never get enough advertisers, cable will never carry you, you know, on and on and on, just the kind of questions you couldn't answer until you really did get launched. But finally, in November of 2000, Dish Network offered us the opportunity to launch as a public interest channel on their network. Charlie Ergen, the majority owner of Dish, had a strong background in rural America and kind of got our business plan and gave us our first shot. But as soon as we got on the air, it was clear that there was an audience for this, a huge audience, not only in the Midwest where I was from, but from coast to coast. And 2 years later, we got on DirecTV. And then shortly after that, cable started calling us and saying, who are you guys? We're getting lots of requests for RFD-TV. So we just built it from there. Like I said, we're up to 50 million homes now. We're Nielsen rated. It's got a heck of an audience. We've attracted advertisers. We've got a cable distribution agreement with every cable company in the country. But there still is only one of us. People ask, who's your competition? We really don't have one. The urban-based broadcasters, this is just a segment of the population that's been ignored and continues to be ignored. But, we're happy to serve it and we'll continue to do so.
Well, I think it's good news that you're the only provider of that kind of programming and targeting that kind of audience, because it is a big audience. And at the moment, you don't have any competition for it except a little around the edges with, you know, some shows on Discovery Channel and that kind of thing.
Sometimes I think it'd be easier if we did have competition. One of the things that hurts us is people say, well, if this is such a good deal, how come nobody else is doing it? How come nobody with any brains is doing it, like NBC or Viacom or somebody like that? But I guess they're just uncomfortable with serving rural folks. It was less than a generation ago that most families grew up on a farm or had some ties to the farm or rural America, and they were not that far away from it. Television in the 60s was all, you know, Bonanza and Beverly Hillbillies and Gunsmoke and those kinds of shows, but we've certainly gotten away from it here in these last couple of decades.
You're talking about being on all the major cable carriers in the U.S. now, which is a great achievement, really, to go from, you know, it's kind of like the whole thing of getting your first job. You can't get hired unless you've already been hired or something. So
right. You
went through that process and broke the ice and broke it in a big way. But I think it's also not just the U.S., but there are channels in many countries that RFD-TV has carried on. And you have a radio show on Sirius, a radio channel.
Yeah, in 2013, we launched a radio network, and that was another one of those deals, too. We've been talking to SiriusXM for about 7 years about launching a rural network, and then you know, finally some of the programming people changed, and it was a good idea. They gave us a shot in July 2013, put us on Sirius XM Channel 80, right between Disney and ESPN. And again, it's proven to attract a large audience that was really being underserved by the 25 million units that Sirius XM has out there.
Yeah, and how many other countries are you in right now?
Well, we've got a thing called the Country Club, which is our internet-based service. Just about somebody from every country subscribes to it.
Oh, sure.
But you were talking about other countries. We had a channel copy us in 2006, came up and talked to us in Brazil, a channel called Televiva, and they launched shortly thereafter, kind of modeling themselves after our programming. And now there's actually five channels in Brazil devoted to agriculture and rural Brazil. There's another one in Argentina. We've been contacted. We've distributed programming in the UK. I got an email a couple weeks ago from some folks in India that want to start a rural channel. So that's what's interesting to me is rural is rural no matter where you go to in this world. People have a love of the land, a respect for traditional family values, and take great care in raising their animals and taking care of their animals. And that's a common theme no matter where you go. So one of our goals here is to really connect countries around the world through their rural communities, through their farmers and ranchers, because you know, in 2050, they project 9 billion people in this world, and somebody's going to have to feed them. And I think it's going to take a united effort. I don't think the U.S. or Brazil or Argentina or anybody's going to be able to do it on their own.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a cultural bias, you know, on the part of the media. As you said earlier, it's like a blind spot on the part of executives in the media, and they're blind to this huge market that's out there, and you've tapped into it and are, again, swimming upstream to continue to grow it, and I think eventually it's going to keep growing and growing. I mean, I'm a case in point myself, right? My wife and I have a small horse farm in East Tennessee. We moved from the coast of Florida, and you know, I'd lived in Washington, D.C. for many years and worked there. And so my wife stumbled across RFD-TV high up in Comcast numbers shortly after we moved there and began watching shows dealing with horse training and riding because we were buying a horse, right? So I took a look, and I saw cattle auctions and prices for corn and hog bellies. And to be honest, I thought at first it was kind of a hoot, you know, because I exercised that same bias of, oh, this is so corny, right? Corn. And but as I watched it a little more, I saw a wide variety of interesting programming, and I see also that in the past couple, 3 years, it's been evolving. The programming itself has been evolving. So, you know, you mentioned the kind of the four stool, you know, legs on your stool, I guess, agriculture and equine shows and then rural lifestyle and entertainment. I mean, give me an example of maybe a couple of kinds of shows that are on rural lifestyle, for example, in that category.
Well, there's one called America's Heartland. It's produced jointly by a number of the farm associations. It's a great show that focuses on agriculture all around the country. You know, I thought I knew everything growing up on a farm when I launched this channel about farming. I found out I know nothing about farming. You know, you go to the valley in California where the vegetables are raised or pecans, or go down south with peanuts or cotton, and you know, everybody's different. There's things that tie us all together. There's usually low prices, worry about the weather, government interference, and so on. But everybody's really tied together with the things that are common. And again, that's, you know, love of the land, traditional family values, and that's what's portrayed there. Another show would be Texas Country Reporter. He's been around for 40 years in the Texas market. A very popular show, follows the Charles Corralt kind of visiting small towns around the area. But that show, Texas Country Reporter, plays just as well in other areas of the country on our network. So we've been able to give shows like that national distribution. All the rock stars in the equine world are on us. Pat Pirelli, Clinton Anderson, Craig Cameron all have shows on us. On the ag side, all of the major ag shows that are out there, Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, This Week in Agribusiness, Ag PhD, they all have a home with us. Before, they were limited on local television to maybe airing at 4 or 5 o'clock in the mornings on weekends. But now with us, they're primetime programming. It's given them great exposure. They've been able to attract the advertisers and sponsors, and everybody's grown. What I'm most proud of is we've got 146 independent programmers on us, and that the one thing that we all share is a real passion for rural America and their particular show. And I think that's one of the reasons why, as you said earlier, when, you know, if you sit down and watch our programming for a while, you're going to get hooked. It's unique content that's not on any other channel.
Yeah, I think, you know, even if you're living in Manhattan, you might like horses because they're beautiful animals. And so if you really want to see a serious dose of being around horses, you can go to RFD TV and look, you know, I mean, just look on your guide section of your, you know, of your digital box and see, you know, what shows are coming up and so on. But there are training shows and just, you know, rodeos and horse trail riding and things like that that are, you know, very well done. I mean, it's all very professional stuff, but you can really get an in-depth look at being around horses that you wouldn't get anywhere else on Animal Planet or whatever. You are listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Patrick Gotch, who's the founder of RFD TV, the rural cable TV network aimed at rural America and rural world, I guess, really, as well as its parent company, Rural Media Group. Kind of a multimedia enterprise, too. You've got a theater in Branson, Missouri, and a new magazine. So you've got...
Yeah, we followed, you know, we didn't invent anything. We just kind of, ESPN has a magazine, and the old model for the Nashville network before its demise, it was based there in Nashville, but, you know, it had the Grand Ole Opry, so we wanted a place to showcase some of the music and traditional music that we were carrying, and we found a theater in Branson in 2007 and purchased it. You know, so that's where people can come. We got 2,000 soft seat theater there that, you know, where Marty Stewart or the Molly B. Polka Show or things like that appear during the year where folks can go to. A lot of folks, when we first started, was asking us for a program schedule. We didn't have enough money to spend a buck to send everybody a program schedule, so we came up with the idea to launch a magazine, and we were discouraged from doing that, too, that people didn't subscribe to magazines anymore. But it was an instant hit. People paid $30 a year, and they didn't do it because it was a great magazine. It's because they were really trying to show support for the kind of programming that we got on, family-oriented programming devoted to rural America. And we wound up getting 200,000 subscribers for it. People get what we're doing here.
You mentioned Nashville. I know you have a new studio in Nashville where you do a lot of your programming. How much programming do you produce in the course of a year?
Yeah, well, that's what's evolving. When we first launched, it was all programming from other sources. But and we've got plenty of programming for agriculture and equine and so on. What we really try to focus our production on is things that nobody's producing. So we launched the Rural Evening News, a half-hour newscast in prime time this past year, devoted to covering the news important from rural America. We established a news bureau in Washington, D.C., and another one in Chicago to cover the markets. We do weather from a rural perspective, from an agriculture perspective. Obviously, it's the same weather, but it's just the presentation. It's not, oh, no, it's going to rain this weekend, no golf. Hmm. It's going to be, oh, boy, it's going to rain this weekend. The peanuts are blooming in Georgia. So, And then our sports report, we're not on baseball or football or basketball, but we cover rodeo and western sports, reining and cutting and team roping and barrel racing and those kinds of things, and do a Wednesday night western sports night. So those are the kinds of things we're producing. Like you said, we're just moving into a new studio right on Music Square down there. And in the mornings, we're now really a business channel focused on rural America, but instead of on the stock market in New York, we're really going live from the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago and covering corn, wheat, soybeans, cattle, hogs, bellies, cotton, orange juice, and so on. We're producing about 7.5 hours a day now of original news programming on RFD TV.
And I think another thing that a lot of the mainstream TV media focus on is youth markets and the 20-something bracket or whatever. Do you target, you know, apart from the geographic aspect of your demographics, do you target older people?
That's a really interesting question to bring up. We focus on serving rural America, and rural America, by definition, is older. Our demographics are older, but we embrace it. We're not one of those channels that's trying to get away from it. We're the number one rated network for the 50-plus demographic as a percentage of our viewers. Nothing's more important to us than youth and the young people staying in rural America and becoming doctors and lawyers and of course, farmers. So, yes, we've got programming from the National FFA Association organization, which used to stand for Future Farmers of America. We've got programming from 4-H. We've got National High School Rodeo that we carry. So we have some programming that targets the younger demographic. But, you know, quite frankly, we embrace the older demographic and are glad to serve it.
And then it goes without saying that older people tend to be a little affluent. they tend to have more money than a 21-year-old kid, right? So
that's... yeah, I mean, I don't. Again, we have a lot of meetings with the New York agencies and so on, but their total preoccupation with just a younger audience to me is missing an audience that, like you say, is affluent, solid. They're homeowners and landowners, and the interesting thing about our growth over the last 5 years before this last year, there was never really any recession in rural America. From 2008 to 2012. In fact, it was probably some of the most productive and economical prosperous years ever. You had record prices for corn, for wheat, for soybeans, for cattle, for hogs, and land prices tripled or quadrupled in value in most areas of the country. So, you know, while the urban areas were experiencing a economic downturn, a recession, there was really a boom going on in many areas of rural America.
That's a good point. You know, here's kind of, I don't know, maybe a inside baseball business strategy question, if I can call it that. But you were talking earlier, and we were both talking about the idea of trying to bridge the gap between urban people and rural people in terms of their interests on RFD-TV. And do you think real carefully about the idea that there might be such a gap that you risk losing your rural audience if you stretch outside their mainly agricultural and country western interests into other kinds of programming that would appeal to urban people? I mean, you gotta stick to your brand, so to speak. And do you think about how far to stretch without risking your home base?
Well, quite frankly, we're really focused on the program. We feel that the programming that we do offer has proven to be even equally popular in the urban areas. Again, one number one because it's unique. But if there's one thing that unites all of rural America, especially agriculture, is that we have to do a better job of communicating with the urban viewers. That things like the Farm Bill and legislation that's important to the rural areas, you know, we've got to get our message into those areas. So that's why we get so much support from the National Cattlemen's Association, the corn growers and the wheat growers and the soybean growers and the pork board and so on, is to get this programming distributed more into the urban areas. And again, in the urban areas where we're distributed, we're one of the more popular channels. So there's no reason. I think it's a misconception that urban folks only like certain things. Most folks growing up in urban America, I think, vacation in the country, or their goal is to eventually retire to the country. So we're that country fix. Our Fair Sunday enough. Night program with Hee Haw plays just as well now as it did 20 years ago when it was in syndication.
Well, it sounds like you've gotten over many hurdles, but as you said, it's still an uphill climb. What are your, you know, we're kind of getting toward the end of the show here, Patrick, but what are your major challenges at this point? I know you talked about the merger thing, and so give us like a thumbnail version of why that's a threat, do you think, that big merger between Comcast and Time Warner Cable and the other one that's pending?
Well, Comcast and Time Warner, if the merger is approved, they'll control 24 of the top 26 markets in the country. They'll control 30 million of the 100 million television homes in this country. And especially for an independent channel like ours that has very little negotiating leverage on a deal like that, you know, if we were to be shut out of 30 million homes and 24 out of the 26 markets, that would make a very difficult challenge for an advertising-based channel like our own. So, again, we're fighting hard to raise the level of awareness for the plight of independent channels and the challenges that they're going to face here going forward. And that's what our testimony before the committee was all about. What was interesting is the merger. The FCC received 73,000 letters about the merger, whether they were pro or con. But 57,000 of the 73,000 letters received by the FCC were specifically about protecting rural programming and RFD-TV in this merger. And we were just humbled by it. And those were not form letters. That wasn't some petition that people were asked to sign. These were individual, original letters written by folks from all across the country about the importance. So if nothing else, that just reaffirms to me that we're on the right track, that we're serving the right audience, and that we have to double our efforts to stay viable going forward, whatever however media evolves.
I mean, I watch RFD-TV on Comcast is your fear that once they have almost a near monopoly that they would shove you out, or that...
Well, they have in certain areas, even before the merger. We were cut out of Colorado and New Mexico, two very western states that where we were had very popular Nielsen ratings. We were low price. You know, there was no reason to kick us off, and the only reason we were kicked off is because of the disconnect between our programming and the value that they perceived it would bring to systems in even states like New Mexico and Colorado. So that's what started this whole thing here to begin with.
We're just down to a last minute or so here, Patrick, but how do you see, it's kind of a broad question, but how do you see cable TV evolving in general, and do those trends work in favor of small independent networks like RFD TV?
Well, I had breakfast this morning, and that was exactly the topic of discussion. It's changing a lot to the internet, you know, direct to home. I think that the packaging of basic cable, it seems to be falling apart. So especially like a network like us, an independent channel, that's going to create a real challenge to stay, keep distribution. You know, a company like Viacom or NBC Universal, they walk in, they've got 32 channels to represent. So, you know, they can say, you got to carry this one or you don't get to carry NBC. Mm-hmm. We don't have that kind of leverage. So that's why it's just so important that independents be represented here and there be some protection. I think we were launched, quite frankly, Dish Network launched us in 2000 because of the foresight of the FCC in 1984 when they established the Cable Communications Act, which asked or required DBS companies to reserve 4% of their bandwidth for independent programming like ours. And we're hoping those kinds of conditions be attached to these mergers if necessary. Everything can originate from urban America. I guess I put it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
There needs a pipeline. Information needs to flow both ways. Not only programming coming from urban America to rural America, but from rural folks back into the urban homes.
So it seems to me you're the only, you corporately are the only one sticking up for rural people, and you kind of have a mission to do that, I suspect, apart even from the business aspects of running a company to do that. But
but it's been fun. It's been a very learning experience. I've enjoyed the process in Washington. And like I said, we've got the support of so many viewers, 57,000 letters to the FCC. So, you know, if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Well, I think you're succeeding, and I think that's a real good thing, and kudos to you. Listeners can go to rfdtv.com. to the TV network's website and read a lot about it and see all of the programming options in the different categories of programming we were talking about. Or you can look on your cable or satellite provider's channel lineup for RFD TV. And I'd urge a lot of people, anybody listening, to take a look at it. It's a lot, as we've been saying here, it's a lot more than you might think at first glance, right? So it's very interesting stuff. Patrick Gotch, I sure appreciate you being on with us on American Variety Radio.
Thank you, Court. We sure appreciate this opportunity with you.
And thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.